Well, it's certainly good to see everyone out tonight as we come together again to worship God. It is a true blessing, hopefully something that we never take for granted. As I mentioned this morning, I'll continue to reiterate, I'm certainly thankful for the opportunity to fill in. I always enjoy coming here and being with you all. You know, when we think of patriarchs, the first names that are likely to come to our mind are Abraham, the man of faith, or Isaac, the son of promise, or Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. But we need to think of another individual that can be added in this category. We need to consider Joseph. Consider this, more space is devoted to Genesis, in Genesis, to him than any other. And there's not a single word of reproof against him. So it's certainly beneficial to us to take a look at this man, to take a look at his character, so that we can gain from it, so that we can draw lessons from it. We need to mimic this individual for his nobility and character and his purity in heart. Go to Genesis chapter 37 for me. We're going to go through the life of Joseph relatively briefly. I'm going to look at some of the high points, going to read some of the passages. For time's sake, we won't read all of them. But I think by looking at the character of Joseph, we can be benefited. Let's first consider Joseph as a son. As a son, he was hated by his brothers. Notice Genesis 37, beginning of verse 2. It says, "These are the records of the generations of Joseph. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father." No doubt this didn't go over well. Bringing back a bad report about them to their father. "I'm telling Dad what you all are doing." Do you think they hated him for that? Absolutely. The favoritism on part of his father certainly didn't help Joseph's situation. Verse 3. "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms." This just fueled the fire for his brothers, that his dad showed favoritism to him. That wasn't Joseph's fault by any means. But this didn't go over well with the brothers. And Joseph's dream certainly didn't help matters. In the same chapter, verses 5 through 11, Joseph dreams these dreams. He has these dreams that indicates those individuals, his family, would bow down to him. Again, more fuel to the fire. They eventually, his brothers, that is, sold him into slavery. Genesis 37, verses 12 through 36. When it didn't look good for Joseph, you see, he was initially spared by Reuben. Notice verse 21. "But Reuben heard this, of their plot, and rescued him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not take his life.' Reuben further said to him, 'Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father.'" So Reuben had a good plan. He was going to save him from them killing him. "Throw him in this pit," he said. And in verses 26 and 27, we see that he was spared death by Judah, who suggested slavery. 26, "Judah said to his brothers, 'What profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother and our own flesh.' And his brothers listened to him." So we see Joseph as a son. He was hated by his brothers. There's certainly no indication that he was being mean to his brothers, that he had any intentions of getting back at them. As a son, though, he was faithful to his father. Some kids may rebel against their parents to try to win the approval of their brothers and sisters. But this wasn't the case with Joseph. Notice Genesis 37, verse 13. Israel said to Joseph, Are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you to them. And he said to him, I will go. So a request is made by his father, and Joseph obeys his dad. You see, God expects obedient children. He expected it in the Old Testament, and he certainly expects it now. But with such bad treatment and separation from his homeland and family, I don't think we could blame Joseph for getting upset, for being unhappy. I don't think we could blame him even if he became bitter and hopeless. But he doesn't. Let's consider Joseph as a slave in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 39, notice verse 1 beginning. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused that all he had did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned, he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. So we see that as an overseer in Potiphar's house, he was blessed by God. He found favor in God's sight. He found favor in Potiphar's eyes. You see, Joseph made the best of his situation. He didn't moan and groan, but he made the best of his situation, and God blessed him. In verses 6 through 20, we won't read this, but we read that Joseph was handsome. He was a good-looking young man. And this caught the eye of Potiphar's wife. She repeatedly tried to seduce him, time and time again, comes on to him. But Joseph resisted. He resisted out of faithfulness to God and out of faithfulness to Potiphar. Notice verse 8 in chapter 39. But he refused and said to his master's wife, Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? No one was around. He could have very easily did this, could succumb to the pressure and gave in to temptation, but he didn't. Because he knew that even though no one was around, God was there. And he would be sinning against God. He resisted out of faithfulness to God and to Potiphar. So what happens? She spitefully accuses him of something that he didn't do. The result is an angry husband and him being imprisoned. So consider his mentality for a moment. The possibility of his mentality. With such false accusations against him, and being wrongfully jailed, again, I can't say that I blame him for becoming bitter and unhappy. Maybe even asking why. Why is this happening? But that's just not in Joseph's character. Consider Joseph as the overseer in Pharaoh's prison. Chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. So he's placed in charge of the other prisoners. There's no doubt that the chief jailer doesn't just throw this task upon any individual. This individual has to be trustworthy. This individual has to have a good character. He has to conduct himself well. And those are all things that Joseph did. Otherwise, he would have been put in this position. And he prospered in his new role. Again, making the best out of his current situation. He interpreted dreams in chapter 40 through 41, verse 36. He interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker, and those come to pass. He acknowledges God as the interpreter. Chapter 40, verse 8. Then they said to him, "We have a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" He didn't take credit for doing this. He gave God the glory. So he fulfills these dreams. He tells them, you know, what was going to happen, and then he's forgotten. Despite what the individual said, he's forgotten. He then interprets Pharaoh's dream. And again, he gives God the glory. He gives God the credit. Chapter 41, verse 16. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Verse 25. Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do." Verse 32. "Now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about." Over and over again, Joseph gives credit to God. He never becomes prideful. He never says, "Look what I'm able to do." He gives God the credit. He gives God the glory. So again, let's consider him. He's falsely accused. He is forgotten by man. Many may wonder at this point, why bother being righteous? Where is it getting me? It's getting me nowhere in this life. I'm getting the short end of the stick, so to speak. But again, not Joseph. Let's look at Joseph as a prince in Egypt. In chapter 41, beginning of verse 38, we see that he is made ruler of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to his servant, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." At 30 years old, he rules over Egypt. He shows wisdom in his work. In the times during the years of plenty, he shows foresight. In the times of famine, he shows shrewdness. He's a wise individual. And then, as prince in Egypt, he's merciful to his brethren. And I think this is probably one of the most amazing things about Joseph. This is probably one of the most remarkable things about Joseph. That when he comes into contact with his brothers, he doesn't go at them. He doesn't wring their neck. He doesn't try to get back at them. He doesn't seek vengeance. But he arranges for them to live in Goshen. He assures them that he has forgiven them. I think this is one of the most impressive things about Joseph. Certainly no sibling rivalry there. But again, Joseph didn't do this because Joseph saw the big picture. Notice Genesis chapter 50 and at verse 20. Joseph said to them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive." He believed in God's providence, knowing that out of all this, God could make good things come from this bad situation. And again, this is remarkable on Joseph's part. When we look at the character of Joseph, we see that it was centered in faith and trust in God. First and foremost, he trusted God. His character was devoted to serving God with honor. His character was devoted to serving men with honor. His character wasn't affected, it wasn't derailed, it wasn't deterred by hatred, by betrayal, or by individuals forgetting about him. His character was one in which he was willing to forgive. Again, he was able to see the big picture, God's wonderful workings in the affairs of men. Certainly, we need to look to the life of Joseph to mimic his character, to mimic his actions. I want to take a look at five things that Joseph showed that we can certainly apply to our lives. The first, Joseph showed acceptance. You know, a lot of times the first response in times of adversity is, why me? Why is this happening? But Joseph accepted what happened to him. Romans 8, verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Joseph, no doubt, knew that he was serving God. He was trusting in God. And things would work out. Things would work out. As long as he kept his priorities straight, things would work out. Secondly, we see that Joseph showed hard work. He didn't seek to undermine those who locked him up. He didn't seek to get back to those individuals. He didn't become lazy in those situations. But in those situations, he had actually helped those around him, those who threw him into that prison. That was Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Whatever we do, we need to do it for God. We need to give Him the credit. We need to work heartily for Him. Not to please the people around us, but first and foremost to please God. And that's what Joseph was doing. He was working hard to please the Creator. Joseph showed patience. You know, it's easy for us when something's going wrong, we have a difficult time, a trial or something like that, we want it to be gone yesterday. We want it to be over yesterday. But this isn't always going to be the case. Joseph endured these trials with patience. And I think it was motivated by love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we read that love is patient. And James talks about enduring difficult times in chapter 1. In James 1, beginning of verse 2, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." These trials help our character. In these times of difficulty, we need to go to God even more. But we need to go to God in times that are going well also. His faith didn't waver during these difficult times. There's no indication that he questioned God. When his brothers sold him, when he was in prison, when he was before being in prison, when he was seduced almost by Potiphar's wife, tried to be seduced. He endured these things with patience. And he trusted in God's timetable, knowing again that things would work out, but it would be on God's timeline. And even if we endure difficult times on this earth, and sometimes they may not work out, the ultimate time that it'll work out is in heaven. Fourthly, we see Joseph showing integrity. He was true to his moral code even when no one was around. Again, he could have certainly taken advantage of Potiphar's wife's advances. No one was around. No one would know. But he didn't. That's when you see the true character of an individual. When they do the right thing, when no one is around. And lastly, we see that he showed humility. He didn't take credit for interpreting the dreams, but he gave God the credit. He realized that it wasn't him, that he wouldn't have been able to do those things. He wouldn't have been able to interpret those dreams were it not for God. We talked this morning about humility on the Sermon on the Mount. How Jesus starts this great sermon with a call to be humble. Humility, again, is one of the foundational elements of Christianity. If we're not going to submit to God, then everything else doesn't matter. We must first submit to God. Joseph was willing to do things to please God and not himself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. Joseph wasn't looking out for his own personal interests. All of his characteristics are characteristics that God expects us to have. Certainly in Scripture we read about different characteristics. These aren't suggestions for us as Christians. God expects us to have these characteristics. And again, they're not a product of heredity or environment. They're a product of choice. We must choose to have these characteristics. And there's no doubt that we struggle with some of them. I know I struggle with some more than some of them. I want you to notice Colossians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. Paul's talking to the brethren here, and he's telling them to put on the new self. He said, you've died to your former life. Now you need to be a different person. You need to be a new individual. He talks about things that they put away, that they put aside. And in verse 12, he tells them what to put on. He says, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. A similar list there in Galatians 5, characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. We can look to Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes. All characteristics that God expects us to have. These characteristics Joseph had. And lastly, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15, we see another big characteristic of Joseph. The Bible says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Joseph didn't seek to repay his brothers. He didn't seek vengeance on them. I think a lot of times we would be in the situation of, I'm going to get back at that individual. But not Joseph. We need to be more like Joseph. The first step is obeying the gospel. It is submitting yourself to God. You have that opportunity now if you have never done so. Maybe you have put on Christ and sinned in a manner that's public. We would encourage you to make the corrections this very evening. Let us strive to be more like Joseph as we walk our Christian life. So if you have need, we would encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.